from the Cyber Hub bunker and studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. Thank you all for being here this Tuesday morning, March 5th, 2024, Super Tuesday. What a big election day it is today in the primaries. If there's such a thing still as primaries, it seems like the race for president in November has been set months ago for the rematch. But Super Tuesday today, if your state is doing the primaries, do your civic duty, go out and vote. Be part of the democratic process. There's nothing more beautiful than that because we've got a packed show today for so many cybersecurity practitioners. A lot to think about, a lot to take care of. Let's get into that here in just a moment. But before we do, please make sure to subscribe and follow us on your favorite podcast listening platform. You can also check us out on YouTube and our Substack, jamesazar.substack.com. You can catch all the latest from the show there as well, including exclusive content only available on our Substack. Now, without further ado, join me for a coffee cup cheers this morning, my double espresso. Let me know what you're drinking in the notes. Coffee cup cheers, y'all. JetBrains yesterday released patches for two authentication bypass vulnerabilities in the build management server TeamCity, including a critical severity flaw that leads to a full compromise. There are several CVEs associated with this advisory. The first, 2024-27198 and 27199. The 27198 has a CVSS score of 9.8, and the 27199 has a 7.3. The security defects impact the web component of TeamCity and exist because of an alternative path and a pass traversal issue, respectively. According to Rapid7, which identified the bugs, CVE 2024-27198 could allow a remote unauthenticated attacker to execute arbitrary code and completely compromise the vulnerable servers, taking over all TeamCity projects, builds, agents, and artifacts. By exploiting the critical severity issue, an attacker could position themselves to perform a significant supply chain attack. The security hole is related to the web server, which is exposed over the HTTP port 81111 by default, which can be configured over HTTPS as well. Due to the way certain requests are handled, an attacker could change the URL to call arbitrary endpoints and create a new admin user. A patch is available. TeamCity says that they are working to get the on-prem patches done. The web version are complete. The on-prem side are advised to apply the available patches as soon as humanly possible. The release version, the correct version of TeamCity, is 2023.11.4. So if you have that version and if you've patched to that version, you're good. If you're not, you want to make sure you get this done right away. 24 hours for an exploit is all it takes. 24 hours. The Alpha 5 and Black Cat ransomware gang that's been really, really popular has somehow shut down all of its servers, claims they scammed the affiliate responsible for the attack on Optum, the operator of Change Healthcare platform, of $22 million. While the data leak website has been down since Friday, Bleeping Computer confirmed that negotiation sites were still active over the weekend. However, as of this morning, all Black Cat sites are now shut down, indicating a further deliberate takedown of the ransomware gang's infrastructure. A short status in Russian on the messaging platform the ransomware threat actor uses for communication reads, they decided to turn everything off. Now, a lot of speculation over why they turned everything off. Is it law enforcement? Could it be one of their major affiliates was busted as part of the lockbit? It's not far-fetched when you think of the modern kill chain to have an affiliate who works with multiple ransomware as a service operators, meaning Lockbit, Black Cat, Black Basta, and so many others. And so all of these could actually exist and be around. And so Recorded Future shared a message from the alleged affiliate, which claims that Optum paid a ransomware on March 1st to delete the data stolen from Change Healthcare platform and receive a decryptor. We'll see if that actually is the case. And again, 350 Bitcoins were paid by Optum in order to retrieve and ensure the data were deleted. So is this the end of them? No, these guys were initially started off as DarkSide. When I first started this show, almost 6 years ago, they were DarkSide. Now they're Black Matter, and they're now Alpha V. So you've got it there. You know, this isn't a victory by any chance. This is just them saying, we're shutting down, we're going to rebuild infrastructure, we're going to make it so we're harder to trace. American Express is informing customers that information was compromised in a third-party service provider data breach. This is a notification letter which was submitted to the Massachusetts Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation. The company explains that the incident impacted account information of some card members, but not all. They became aware of that a third-party service provider engaged by numerous merchants experienced unauthorized access to their system. According to Amex, the compromised information includes names, current and previous issued card account numbers, and other card details such as expiration date. The firm says they're vigilantly monitoring customer accounts for fraud and notes that impacted individuals are not liable for fraudulent charges on their account. This is the latest challenge in third-party security breaches for financial services firms. We'll see the potential impact of this in the months to come, and we'll keep you appraised as to any developments in the American Express third-party breach. The North Korean APT hacking group Kaminsky is exploiting the screen connect flaw, particularly CVE-2024-1708 and 1709, to infect targets with a new malware variant dubbed Tootle Shark. Kaminsky, a North Korean state-sponsored group known for cyber espionage on organizations and government worldwide, are now taking advantage of the ConnectWise vulnerability there, essentially going out and targeting their target audience. They've been seen targeting government organizations, research centers, universities, think tanks in the United States, Europe, and Asia, all in the name of gathering information for the North Koreans. The hackers gain initial access to vulnerable SkinConnect endpoints by exploiting the vulnerabilities, which give them authentication, bypass, and code execution capabilities. Once they establish that, then they use legitimate Microsoft binaries such as msHTA.exe to execute malicious scripts like a heavily obfuscated VPS, blending its activities with normal system processes. Next, the malware changes the VBAW warning keys in Windows Registry to allow macros to run on various Microsoft Word and Excel versions without generating notifications. It's routinely gathering system information, including host name, system config details, user accounts, active user sessions, network configurations, security software installed, all current network connections, enumeration of running processes, and list installed software by parsing common installation path and Windows start menu. It's a polymorphic malware all in all. It allows it to evade detection as such and really gain foothold and consistency and persistence in your environment. You want to make sure you follow the IOCs and TTPs here in order to make sure you're not falling victim. A plugin for an open source network monitoring tool, Zeek, is affected by several vulnerabilities that threat actors could leverage in attacks aimed at ICS environments. The existing of the vulnerability was disclosed by CISA. The agency's ICS advisory describes two critical, one high severity vulnerabilities impacting the EtherCAT plugin for Zeek. Those are CVEs 2023-7244, 7243, and 7242. The plugin is one of a dozen ICS protocol parsers for Zeek, a widely used network monitoring framework. Zeek is designed to run on hardware, software, or cloud systems quietly and unobtrusively, observing network traffic for possible threats. According to the official Zeek website, the tool has more than 10,000 deployments worldwide, and it's a very popular security software suite, such as Security Onion, simply for its ability to bundle and integrate easily. Exploitation of the vulnerabilities involves the attacker sending specially crafted packets over a network monitored by Zeek. In some cases, this requires having access to the targeted organization's network, and also may be possible to conduct attacks directly from the internet there as well. So there's that. A pro-Hamas hackers have renewed the Bibi Wiper malware attacks on Israeli organization in recent days. This involves four new variants of the malware that are able to evade antivirus engines, according to VirusTotal. The Bibi malware is a wiper type malware designed to erase and corrupt data. And unlike others, its purpose is to steal and manipulate. Here, they're really just, the idea is damage, 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 take away, delete, corrupt, and so forth. And if you recall, when Russia started using wiper malware against Ukrainian organizations, I said it was only a matter of time before we'll see this somewhere else. After October 7th, the Bibi malware has been extremely popular with Hamas terrorist supporters. They're using it to corrupt systems. They're targeting all kinds of industries in Israel. It appears to be still active. They figured out how the Israelis are blocking it. They're trying new stuff. It's a cat and mouse game. So Bibi malware back. It's only a matter of time before we see it somewhere else. North Korea, again, in the headlines today, after allegedly stolen South Korean microchip manufacturing technology secrets, prompting the National Intelligence Service in Seoul to call for better cyber defenses. The reports say the NAS accused North Korean cyber crime groups of compromising the servers of two separate unnamed microchip manufacturers in South Korea and stealing semiconductor designs and facility photos. This would be nothing new. This is likely North Korea selling the data to the Chinese and the Chinese using the North Koreans as a distraction so that no one says you're stealing IP, which is a common complaint against China. And finally, the main intelligence directorate of Ukraine's Ministry of Defense claims it breached servers of the Russian Ministry of Defense and stole sensitive documents. As a result of the breach, the GUR claims to have obtained sensitive documents that contain secret service information, including software used by Russian Ministry of Defense for protecting and encrypting data, an array of secret service documents from the Russian Ministry of Defense, including orders, reports, directives, and other various documents circulated among 2,000 structural units of the ministry, information that allows establishing the complete structure of the system and its links, and data that helped identify senior heads of structure units of the Minoborni, as well as deputies, assistants, and specialists who use software for electronic document management called Bureaucracy. Documents belonging to the Russian Deputy Minister of Defense, Timur Vadimovich Ivanov, were also released. The press release notes that the particular minister, Ivanov, has a significant role in the success of cyber attacks, though no actual details of the operations were omitted. So that's escalating. They've claimed to have infiltrated the Russian Center for Space, as well as the Russian Federal Air Transport Agency and the Russian Federal Taxation Services as part of the cyber warfare campaign launched by Ukraine on Russia. So there's that. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, live with all the latest and greatest. Please make sure to check out our social media channels. Also, if you've got any stories, you can always send them to our website at cyberhubpodcast.com or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. And most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.